Tell me a little bit about trick-or-treating and how it is experienced by some youth with disabilities, and what maybe some sticking points or some more difficult aspects of it are.
I think the big thing with it can be it can be very overstimulating, especially depending on the neighborhood you live in. You know, a lot of people walking around, you have different ones with masks on. If there's lights, you know, flashing lights, you know, there are people with epilepsy. Sometimes that's like a comorbidity with different disabilities. So things like that, you know, some parents may be more inclined to keep their child home. We have some clients here who, if they know we're going somewhere with flashing lights, they just keep their child home to not chance a seizure. Just loud noises, which that's sometimes hard to avoid, but parents will usually, you know, they try to make it as enjoyable for their kids as possible, I think. And so, you know, you'll see kids walking around with the noise-canceling headphones. I think one big thing that is good for people to remember is you're going to see a lot more adults, maybe, or like teenagers, walking around trying to get candy, and, you know, sometimes it might be clear that they have a disability, and other times it's not as clear. Some just present very well, and it would take a little bit longer into a conversation to realize that they might have a disability. But just being mindful that if somebody's coming up trick-or-treating, that, you know, maybe not to give them a hard time or to make a comment about them being too old, just because, like, a lot of our clients, they may be adults, but, you know, mentally, their age is lower. So just being mindful of that, being mindful that there are some kids that are going to come up to houses that won't say thank you, that maybe not be able to say thank you, or you might have some that are scared to come up, so they might just wait there for a while, and it might take them a while to be able to walk up, or you might have some that get maybe hyper fixated on the decorations and they may want to sit and talk for a long period of time. So just kind of being aware of that, you know, when you set out stuff for Halloween, you never know who you're going to get, but you kind of have to prepare that, you know, there might be, you know, all sorts of people.
I did want to ask another side of it too, is beyond just mental disabilities, there are also physical disabilities, and obviously, you know, different areas can have much harder to access sidewalks and other aspects of, you know, just navigating the town streets or whatever. I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit, what kind of like barriers a child with physical disabilities might encounter, and if there are any ways that a person handing out candy might be able to make that process a little bit smoother for them.
I mean, uneven sidewalks, cobblestone sidewalks, stairs, all of those things for somebody with a physical disability, especially at nighttime where it's already harder to see. If it's not lit up enough for them to be able to see where they're stepping, that creates problems. If you're in a wheelchair and it's somewhere where the sidewalk is not conducive to, like, the wheels of a wheelchair, that creates that barrier. So what I would recommend is, depending on where you're at, if you're at somewhere where you could sit at the end of your sidewalk, if you know that your sidewalk's not that accessible, just so that you could pass out candy and not make them have to go clear up to you, or just be creative with it. I had a neighbor during COVID who somehow set a tube up on their handrail, and they shot candy down it. They, like, set the candy in, and it went down, and the kids could grab it out, and that was a creative way, I thought, to be able to get candy to kids. But just being, you know, I think the best thing overall for just any of these topics is, you know, think of it if it was your kid or somebody you cared about, you know, what would you do to accommodate them? So if, you know, you had a child with a disability, you would want to make it as accessible for them to be able to go and do these things. So just kind of being aware of where you live, and if it's difficult for you to walk up the stairs, then it's probably going to be almost impossible for a child with a disability to be able to do that as well.
And then I guess from the other side of it, I was also curious for, like, parents, Are there any recommendations you might have for them? Or like, do a lot of parents pursue like alternative types of trick-or-treating? Or like, what are some ways parents might be able to navigate some of the difficulties their children might face during Halloween?
If you know your child's going to be overstimulated, try to find somewhere that maybe it's a more quiet neighborhood, which that just comes with, I think, trial and error of researching like different neighborhoods. Like where I live, we have 200 kids that come through. So it's definitely not somewhere somebody who has sensory, sensory issues that they wouldn't want to come to that area. But maybe somewhere where it's a little bit quieter would be good. I mean, they have the sensory trunk or treats. We set up with that a couple weeks ago with key learning. So it was a little bit more laid back. They could just come through and grab candies out of trunks. But yeah, doing that, and then I know a lot of parents, you know, they feel, or this is just my experience with my nephew who has autism. Parents feel bad that their child's not saying thank you. And then I think that it also in their mind is, you know, they worry that people are going to think their child is being a brat or unappreciative. I know, I mean, that's stuff my, you know, sister has worried about. So just even if they could even make something that says, like, just a little, like, card that their kid could show if they're nonverbal and that says, like, Happy Halloween, I might not be able to speak, but I appreciate what you do, or I might not be able to communicate, but I do appreciate, you know, something little like that that they could hold up, just teach them to hold that up so people know if that's a concern, you know, just the perception of that. And then just also, you know, knowing your child, if your child is afraid of different things, like if the costumes are too overwhelming, if they think they look too realistic, again, just trying to go somewhere that's a little bit more, just a smaller amount of trick-or-treaters would probably be best. And then also if they just don't want to participate in it, I mean, there's some who just, we have some clients who just do not like Halloween, so just kind of knowing your kid, and even though it's one of those experiences that we as a society, like, we look forward to, and we think, oh, our kids need to go and do this, just remember that if your kid doesn't like to do that, then that's okay.
Then for kids, I don't know if there's any like older kids who might be like listening to this, but for kids who might be trick-or-treating, who might feel like overwhelmed, if there's any pieces of advice that you wanted to extend to them, or any I guess youth or even adults like you mentioned who might be participating in the holiday, like are there techniques you normally like recommend to people for how they can express when they're feeling like overstimulated or otherwise or just experiencing some level of difficulty?
Definitely, I would recommend noise-canceling headphones, for sure, because that could help cut down on the being overstimulated. But then also, if you do something like, you could make, we've made these little things before and passed out to parents that are, they show different emotions on there, and the child can just point to them and say, you know, I feel overwhelmed, I feel sad, I feel, you know, and whether it has the words or the pictures, it helps their parents to know how they're feeling. We'd like to do like different mindfulness exercises as well. So the, you know, 5-4-3-2-1 method of five things you see, four things you hear, four things you can touch, three things you hear, two things you can smell, and one thing you can taste. So even something like that could help to kind of calm it down. And just knowing, I think just knowing when you're done too, recognizing like if kids can, it can be hard, but taking that minute and be like, okay, I'm done. Or sometimes they can feel when it's coming on, when they're starting to get anxious. You know, sometimes it's good to push through, but sometimes it's okay to say, you know, I can't do this anymore, I'm done. So just learning to listen to that, their own voice.
I wanted to turn it over to you. Are there any things I didn't ask about that you think are important to note, or do you think we've kind of touched on the main points you had to make?
My sister actually wrote down some good options as well, because she has a son with a disability, and she was talking about, you know, offering non-food options, because there are some kids that go around who have diabetes, or they have problems swallowing, or they have severe allergies. So just kind of being mindful of that, which you can't accommodate for everybody, but having that option of like we're passing out bracelets at my house this year for Halloween. I've passed out stickers, something that is like a non-candy option as well.